The whole conversation is like, baba baba, baba baba,
baba baba, baba baba,
baba baba.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
We all know as seafarers, at times there are situations on board and on shore can prove physically and emotionally demanding, right? This can lead to seafarers sometimes feeling overwhelmed and susceptible to feelings that affect their overall well-being. These programs, such as the Onboard Mental Health Champions, part of the We Care program, aims to ensure that seafarers and their families are able to prosper. And that is why we're here. I'm going to now introduce all of us. I'm going to start with myself. Hi. I'm Pam. I'm a psychotherapist, former seafarer, wife of a seafarer, and a mom. And we have with us Chief McCoy.
Hello, everyone. I'm Chief McCoy. I've been a chief engineer for the past 10 years and a seafarer for about 21 years. I'm married, two kids. I also have my own YouTube channel. You can check out Chief McCoy. McCoy spelled M-A-K-O-I on YouTube.
And then we have Captain Rahon.
Magandang araw. Good day to everybody. I'm Captain Rahon. I'm very grateful to be here, to be part of this program. I'm a master mariner for 3 years, and my sea service is 18 years. I'm a volunteer trainer for the Mission to Seafarers We Care program, social communication, and also when on vacation, I am a maritime instructor.
So the backstory for our listeners is, how did we all meet? Well, we didn't, right? Not in person. It's been all virtual. Backstory is, my husband has been following Chief McCoy for about 2 years and has always told me, you have to see this guy's videos. He's so great. While working on this program for Mission to Seafarers, I needed some real and relatable video footage for crew members. So I started looking around and then I went, oh yeah, this is the one. Amazing footage of what it is like truly to work at sea. I was able to connect with him to get the approval to use his videos and asked him, hey, would you be interested in doing a podcast? And here we go. But the thing that resonated me with the most with one of your videos, Chief McCoy, was you had said something amazing about crew morale. And it kind of goes like this, I'm paraphrasing here. You can demand them to work all that you want, but if crew have low morale, you are the reason why, that you as the manager or the chief are in no place to expect good results. And for me, that was like, wow, yes. So the mood, really, what you're trying to say is the mood starts from the top and works its way down. And I just found that to be just amazing. So I said, I need to reach out to him. And then Captain Rahon, we have not met in person, but virtually. I had met through the Mission to Seafarers, and we were brainstorming ideas that what would resonate with crew to address some of the biggest issues that they deal with and use these in stories to show mental health awareness. So basically put interventions within real and relatable stories for seafarers. Chief McCoy, I know you've been at sea for over 20 years, correct?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and then Captain Rahon, you're 18 years?
Yes, 18 years as a seafarer.
Okay, and then for me is over 20. So that is 60 years. That is a lot of sea legs. As a former seafarer and a mental health professional and a wife of a seafarer, I help curate videos with real and relatable tools to help with crew and officer challenges on board and at home. So I took a common ship story that we all might be familiar with, right? Money borrowing. And how does the story relate to mental health and well-being, as well as our feelings and emotions? So we explore for our listeners the value of the takeaways in this video. What does money borrowing have to do with your own well-being? And this is going to be a collaborative and responsive podcast to kind of speak the unspoken. But We want you to know that this podcast is not a replacement for therapy. So if you feel that you need to speak with someone, please reach out to a chaplain 24/7 through live chat or a suitable medical professional. So a little bit more about me. Unlike Chief McCoy and Captain Rahon, I came from the cruise sector of maritime, which I even get stigma from others when they hear that, especially those that work in cargo, because they're like, oh, you are from the cushy side of maritime, right? So almost like it's not really valid. But what's sometimes overlooked is that not only did I have to manage my team of 16, I was a guest relations manager, I had 2,500 guests and all of their situations to deal with. And oh, I can tell you some stories. But we also share similarities. We are away from our loved ones, rough weather, seeing ports from our porthole because we can't go ashore, no days off. Well, anyways, that we can't really speak of, right? I'm excited to dive into the crew videos and kind of start with the common ship story of money borrowing and what are the emotions and feelings that kind of, you know, come into play. And Chief McCoy, I'm going to start with you that when was a time that you didn't feel that you couldn't speak to anybody, that there was that stigma there that prevented you from reaching out because you didn't feel okay? Did you have a situation like that?
I think during my younger years, I think when I was still a junior, and I had a senior from the same school, that was the time that I could tell because he's a senior. He's a senior of mine. I knew him personally even before the ship. I knew him way back in school, and I knew that I could trust him. So I tell him my problems. Okay, sir, I have this problem. But it's usually nothing big, and he's going to give me advice or something like that. Then I'll be feeling relieved after that, and I'll take his advice. Usually something like that.
Exactly. Okay? And did you now, as a chief engineer, if you really feel down, maybe even depressed, who's your go-to? Who do you go to say, hey, I'm not feeling well? Loved one, family, wife?
In cases that I feel lonely, I just call my wife. Mm-hmm. It's always my wife.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's your go-to person.
Yes, of course.
That's great. Captain Rahon, what about you? Is there a time that you felt that you were not feeling really well and you needed to reach out to somebody but felt that stigma? And how did you overcome it?
Being a master mariner, no? There's so many pressures, stresses coming in while on board. And most of the time, I talk to my wife with regards to what's happening on me. We chat through social media about what's happening on board and what I'm feeling so that she's aware of what I'm going through. That means she's more understandable of what's happening on board.
Yeah. And you have to release what you're feeling because you don't want to let it build up and build up, right? That there's somebody that we have to go to just to say, okay, you know, I'm not okay. And that's what we want to get out to our listeners and to seafarers, that it's okay not to feel okay.
Okay. Pre-pandemic, there are from the mission seafarers coming on board. So it's also nice to talk to them, and you can release also the pressures that you're feeling, experiences, that when they come on board. But nowadays, it's not quite difficult for everybody to visit the vessel. So.
Yeah.
But before pre-pandemic, it was nice. There are other people, not just only the crew that we're meeting. There are chaplains coming on board. That's very good.
Yeah, there's somebody different to speak to. Yeah, that's a great support to have. It's okay not to feel okay, and it's okay to ask for help because we want to promote that, to start breaking the cycle of the stigma, to reach out. And from my story that I had one occasion that I actually had two traumatic situations kind of back to back. And as a guest relations manager, I had to handle situations with families on board and ashore. And I remember one day I had the back-to-back traumas and I had to go to my director report and give him my ship mobile phone and say, do not call me for 24 hours. And I actually felt really vulnerable to admit that I wasn't okay. So I was looking around at my staff who are all from the Philippines and Europe, like, oh, well, you know, as the manager, if she is saying she's not okay, then wow, then what's going to happen to the rest of us? But I really needed to have that self-care for 24 hours to just kind of overcome what I was feeling. But I did feel that stigma and I knew that there would be consequences to that, but I also knew there were consequences that if I didn't do my own self-care, what would happen? But there is stigma to overcome because on board, let me know your thoughts, is on board, it seems when the cruise sector that everyone always has to appear happy, right? And appear strong. And then you've got culture, country culture, where you don't want to lose face and appear weak or maybe even weak in your faith. Have you, either of you experienced that?
Yes, I think it's part of the macho culture of the Philippines that mm-hmm. if you are the male, if you are the breadwinner, you must be strong, not only to your family, but also on board. So sometimes if you all this notion, facade that you have to show, you are burning inside.
Yeah.
It's quite difficult.
Yeah. And then the culture, you know, of always being macho. And then you have the onboard culture of appearing strong. And then maybe there's faith where you don't want to appear weak in your faith. So there's a lot of stigmas there to overcome. And the goal is to try and get it out there, to talk to people, to let them know it's okay not to feel okay. And it's okay to reach out for help. And then if more people start doing it, becomes more of a norm. In the video, what did you think of the emotion wheel from the Junto Institute? You know, that big wheel with the center, thoughts, feelings, and actions. And any feedback on your experiences with that where you're like, oh, yes, I had anger. And then it had reached out to this feeling, this feeling, this feeling. Chief McCoy, I'd be really interested to hear your input on the emotion wheel, either for yourself or you think maybe it'd be helpful for your crew?
For the emotional wheel, I think it could help a lot, especially to seafarers, because it will allow them to be aware of their emotions and a particular occurrence or event. How does that make them feel? Because as we know, if you are aware of something, then you can plan ahead or calculate what's going to be my next step.
Exactly.
Instead of just bursting out, just going with your emotions. Say, for example, if you feel anger, especially on board the ship, seafarers sometimes, because they are physically tired and they're stressed, sometimes little things could trigger them emotionally.
Yes, like the straw that broke the camel's back. That one little thing snap and right.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes they give in to these emotions and they do something outright, which at the time made them feel good. Mm-hmm. But a few minutes later, when they realize what they did, there are going to be a lot of consequences, which will negatively. If you're not aware of how certain triggers make you feel, you won't be able to plan ahead or regulate what they're going to do or hold yourself back.
Exactly. And what I really love about the Junto Institute emotion wheel is that you're really able to explore where your feelings come from. And like you said, identify where they come from. It makes you aware. Because if you're aware, you then have the information and the power to make more informed decisions. And that kind of ties into STAR, stop, assess, think, respond. And like, okay, wait a minute, this is what I'm feeling. So if I go to the emotion wheel, okay, I'm feeling anger. And outside of anger, the feelings are enraged, exasperated, irritable, jealous, disgusted, and then further out could be hostile, agitated. But if we use the technique, if you are in the moment where you're caught up in the moment and you can say, STAR, So then what that does is it gets you to think about, okay, my thoughts, then my feelings, what are the feelings from that thoughts and actions. Can you give, or would you want to share a story where you had experienced, okay, wait a minute, maybe I should have used this technique and I didn't, and this was the outcome? I'll start off maybe with Captain Rahon. Do you have a time when you could have used STAR or you could have used the emotion wheel and said, oh, this really could have helped me?
With regards to dealing with people, with the crew, I have no problem. It's with dealing with the port authorities that I'm being stressed.
Right.
With the crew, especially if you're all Filipino, there's an understanding among you. But when we will go to another place, and in a port, for example, the ship is your home, right? It's your second home.
Yep.
And they come to you and, you know, going to some other countries that are not that well developed. They really trigger your
emotions.
Emotions. So most of the time, what I do is, yes, okay, it's anger, right? It goes with anger. Then sometimes how I deal with them is that what they culturally is really like. If they want this, yo, and if we can provide it on board, we give it to them. It is I who's going to be more diplomatic, because she, Filipino Seafarers is considered as ambassador. So it's as much as possible, how does ambassador acts like, right? Mm-hmm. So I go from there. I go to there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great example. And Chief McCoy, do you have an experience you can think of that maybe I should have used this technique or it would help you or your crew?
I had a blunder a few years back. Captain Rahon will remember this because we sailed together.
That's right.
Chief Engineer.
Yeah.
We had this incident in India wherein our steering gear flat was flooded. So there were damages which needed the presence of a class surveyor. But by the time that the class surveyor arrived, it was like 3 a.m. and I haven't slept for like 2 or 3 days because it was a very hectic thing and there were a lot of damages. And I was, of course, in the front lines when that happens. And I was down in the engine room and then I got called up to the captain's cabin to talk.
Oh, that's never good.
Class surveyor. Yeah. So I was gasping for breath. And then the class surveyor was asking for a lot of things. And where's this? Where's that? Where's this? Of course, sometimes we're tired, exhausted.
I remember that.
I raised my voice. Can you please, sir? And then I remembered, hey, wait, this is the class surveyor. He could easily cancel our certifications or something. Like, he also got angry at me. So I immediately apologized.
Yeah. So it was a good time to maybe use STAR. But, you know, caught up in the moment of fatigue, right? Because you hadn't slept in 2 days.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
That was the time when we have this class survey, when we have the surveyor coming, the technical superintendent coming.
And was on board. Yeah. Oh, and I had a bunkering in installments. They couldn't supply it in one go. They had to supply it in three in the span of a few hours. So there was no time for me to sleep, actually. So, and then that happened. The incident happened.
And then back to back.
Yeah, everything was going straight.
So, yeah.
So I barely had any sleep. I think I haven't slept in that 2 days. And then that happened, the incident happened. So it just triggered me.
Yeah, and I can imagine, especially when you're fatigued. And this is a great opportunity for the listeners out there that we would love to hear their stories and how they use the emotion wheel or used STAR. Please feel welcome to let us know on our Facebook page, hashtag Onboard Champions, and Twitter page at MTS WeCare. We would love to hear your stories and what worked for you and what you tried. We'd love to hear your feedback. Going back to situations where we've used STAR or the emotion wheel, have you ever had the feelings come up of your dignity and respect and self-worth? Because on a ship, where you live is where you work, right? There are no boundaries. It's just, it's all the same. And when you work day in and day out, like you said, Chief McCoy, you become tired. But have you had an experience with dignity? We talk about in the video that Donna Hecks, PhD, talks about dignity as it's your own self-worth. It's kind of the glue that makes everything stick. And that dignity is different than respect. Dignity, it being your own self-worth, respect is something that you've earned. And you, in order to, you know, have your own dignity, you can't rely, have your dignity on other people or attached to other people. Because if you do, when your dignity takes a hit, what's going to happen? You're attaching your own self-worth to another person. Filipinos, there's a lot of pride, and especially pride to provide not only for your families, your internal, but external family. But I'd love to have your feedback on that segment on dignity and pride and respect, to kind of hear it from the lens of like a crew member and how maybe a crew member might interpret that.
I was once have a messman, no? When there was change of the master. So whenever I call the messman, he's always running to me. When I ask the chief officer, what's wrong with the messman? Whatever I ask him, he's jittery. He said that, oh, sir, because the last master, he was quite very strict with the messman. The messman feels like he's already a robot. Oh. So whenever he's like a robot that the captain calls him whatever he likes to do or what, whenever. Mm-hmm. So the rest, the working rest are to the messman. But it changed during my time. Mm-hmm. So I told the messman, things change now. You must find your self-worth. As a person, it's important that you must also respect yourself. I told him that. He must have also pride on himself that he should also say no to the master in case that he feels he's already being abused.
Exactly. Okay. And we've all have experienced where we've had either a supervisor, manager, chief, master that, you know, oh boy, here they come, they're coming. And you're counting down the days when they leave or you leave because you know that it's not a good environment. And dignity and respect are really important, you know, on board, not only for ourselves, but also, you know, for our crew. Chief McCoy, do you have an experience that you'd like to share when it comes to dignity and respect?
For dignity, actually, like you said, it's a personal, it's how you view yourself. Mm-hmm. It's variable depending on what culture you came from. There are times that if you think that this is beneath you, something is beneath you, you could get insulted or something like that. For respect, it's more generally, it doesn't matter what culture they came from, you treat them with a certain level of dignity. It's basically like treating people like humans. Mm-hmm. As humans. Mm-hmm. It's a basic thing, actually.
Yeah, but so, some people it's very hard to do because they feel either that they're not worthy of, but, you know, like you said in your quote, that if you want results, you need to treat your crew like people. You have to empower them and build the morale up. And if your goals will align with theirs, if you do that, it starts from the top and it works its way down.
Yeah. Back in my junior years, I've experienced quite a few chief engineers who were, let's just say, not really abusive, very antagonistic towards me. And there are times that I feel like I am insulted or something. Not just insulted, but they're really out for me or something like that. And that's actually one of the points wherein I said to myself, when I become chief engineer, this kind of thing will not happen. Even if I see my second engineer doing the same thing, if it's within the scope of work, that's no problem. But if it's not within the scope of work, if it's something personal already, I step in.
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes there will be, you know how it is on board, there will be the lower ranking members who will try to get close to me. And if they feel like they're close to me, and then they'll say, oh, the second engineer is giving us a hard time like that. I ask why. What did he do? And when they say that it's because they're too much work or something like that. And I know what time, how much time they spend at work because I actually ordered that to second engineer. And I don't overwork my people. Okay? It might be the job scope is difficult and it happens at times on board the ship. When they say that, well, it's within the scope of work and it's right. Mm-hmm. And if they say that he's shouting at us, yeah, okay, why would he shout at you? Because they were slow and doing something, they mm-hmm. forgot something. Then you deserve to be shouted at. Mm-hmm. it's like a kick, just to kick you up to wake you up, something like that. Okay? But if you do things properly, it's like if you're not doing things properly, you're disrespecting him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay?
If he will feel insulted, it's like if you don't respect him, why mm-hmm. would you expect him to respect you?
Yeah, exactly.
It goes both ways.
It goes both ways. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the thing is, sometimes the outlook of the lower ranks towards the officers is sometimes different. They mm-hmm. they feel always that they are on the pointy end of the stick or something like that, mm-hmm. on the receiving end. Mm-hmm. So you have to just inform them what's actually up. If something, yeah, they might not realize that they're doing something wrong, mm-hmm. something like that. That's why they feel that they're being abused. You just have to inform them.
Yeah.
This is how things are.
Yeah.
It has to go both ways. Respect.
Exactly. And your videos show that dignity and respect go both ways. And for our listeners, check out Chief McCoy, M-A-K-O-I on YouTube. Captain Rahon, do you have a situation or story to share when it comes to dignity and respect that working with your crew that you'd share with us?
On my last vessel, the chief officer and second mate had a disagreement because during the cargo operation, the second officer sent the AB, the able-bodied seaman, for his meal. But we are very busy with the operations, no? So then the chief officer asked, where is this AB? Where is this able-bodied seaman? I said, oh, I sent him to eat. Then chief second mate, come to me. He said, they have a disagreement until they come to me. They also goes up to the master, no? To me. I explained to them, what can we do next time so that nobody's going to be trampled on like that? Because the AB just followed the second mate order, but the second mate didn't ask the opinion of the chief officer with regards to that one, because the chief officer is the cargo operations, right? He's in charge of cargo operations. We had a meeting, and then the AB feels bad for the second officer because the second officer received tongue lashing from the chief officer. So mm-hmm. I talked to the chief officer. And with the AB, because after that chief officer likes to go home. Said, I don't like to go to work with you anymore. Mm. Now he's like a big child, having a big tantrum, chief officer. He's a big child. So I talked to them, including that. I also called the chief engineer so that we can settle these things, settle the situation. And finally, later on, we have an agreement. So I think it's about communication. It's important that everybody communicate. There's open communication so that everybody will understand wherever the situation is. So that the AB said, okay, next time, chief, I will not eat. Or even though it's your meal time, as long as there's a cargo operations going on. It's going to be open communication and understanding. That's important.
Yeah, that is so important because dignity is something that we deserve no matter what, right? Claiming our own dignity, that it's in our own hands. So even as bad as things get, it really makes us resilient because we can bounce back. And enhancing that dignity on board is so important because both of you are at the top. I talked about in the video a slogan. So if we were to have dignity slogans, so the suggestion I came up with is like, dignity is my destiny. Do either of you have a slogan when it comes to dignity, either with yourself or with your crew, that you would like to share?
In regards to dignity,
yeah.
I think for me it goes the give respect to earn respect. So what about dignity? You go first, Chief McCoy.
I think it's basic, like just like what I said, treat others the way you want them to treat you.
That's perfect. Perfect.
Is that the golden rule or something like that?
I've heard that before. That's the end of part one of my conversation with Captain Rahon and Chief McCoy, part of the Onboard Mental Health Champion podcast series from the Mission to Seafarers. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss part two of this podcast, where we get even more real and relatable. I am Pam Kern. Thanks for listening. Wishing you fair winds and following seas.